What is up, guys? Wallo J here. I'm here with my co-host, Miguelinho. Miguelinho, say what's poppin', yo?
What's poppin', yo?
Also joining us, our other co-host. He's got a 20-pound brain. Egg. Egg, say what's up to the peoples.
What's up to the peoples?
Also joining us, PGF World 6 athlete, Jet Thompson. What's up, Jet? How you doing, brother?
Yeah, I'm doing great. How are y'all doing?
We're doing good, man. You know, just getting – we're psyched for season 6, and we noticed that you are the youngest on the roster at 17, man. I thought you were, like, over 18, but, man, you're killing it. I've been watching your stuff, and I saw the B-team tournament that they had a while back.
Yeah.
And, man, impressive. Armbar at the end, 8 seconds. That was pretty dope. Well, what got you into jiu-jitsu?
Well, I used to live out in Western Oklahoma, and then we moved out to, like, Central Oklahoma about 10 years ago. And there happened to be a jiu-jitsu school like half a mile from our house. So I started there, and now I'm training full time.
Do you even go to school or?
No, I'm homeschooled. Yeah.
Okay. That's cool. So you're focused on that pro athlete lifestyle.
Yes. Yes, sir.
How often do you compete? Do you compete like every weekend or?
Yeah. I usually compete every month. I've been doing the ACC Opens. I haven't competed the last 2 months. I'm just doing a ACC trials prep.
Oh, nice.
But, yeah, I usually compete about every month.
All right, right on. So, are you going to the West? Go ahead.
No. I mean, I'm sure you're going to the West Coast Trials. I mean, that's next week. And
yeah.
Like half you're going to see, like, all the PGF there. Like all the competitors are going to that. So we'll be paying close attention to that. But so I got a little confused because I watched your little grapplers video that's on YouTube. That was really cool. I know you're with the Watkins Warriors, right? Watkins Wrecking Crew, pardon me. But that's Arlington, Texas. And I got you were in Western Oklahoma, then Central Oklahoma. Where are you, man?
So I live over like a little north of Oklahoma City, but then I go down and I train at the Watkins a week every month, and I live down there with them for a week.
Oh, that makes sense. We're like, man, this kid's driving 3 hours each way. Like, that's commitment. But even so, going out for a week, right? So shows you're dedicated to this, focus on the craft, and you find a way to make it sustainable instead of driving every day and hating yourself. So props to that.
Yeah, thank you.
Shit, that'd be what's the drive like? Is it what, 4 or 5 hours?
It's like 4 hours usually. Yeah, it's not that bad. I've been doing it for probably about 2 years now.
Oh man, nice.
But so, I mean, you just were able to drive this last year. So just the folks drove you, or how'd you do that?
Yeah, my dad drove me for a while.
Okay.
He I'm sure he got tired of that.
Yeah.
We're just going to have to find you an Airbnb down there and just put you out there for a week.
Yeah.
So the PGF coming up in April here shortly.
Mm-hmm.
Have you been able to, you know, check out the previous seasons and check out the rule set and all that stuff? Are you familiar with everything or not yet?
Yeah, I'm sort of familiar. I've seen like some of the highlights from the other matches and the other seasons, and then I read the rules. It looks like a really cool rule set to me, because I'm a very submission focused guy. So I really like this rule set. Yeah.
What about your competition? What do you think of the competition that you will be facing this year?
It was crazy. He announced me, and then he started announcing all these people. I'm like, oh man, like this is like my first opportunity to fight those like top ranked fighters, the top 10 people. So I'm really excited for the opportunity and to get to like be around those guys too. It's just going to be really cool just to see like their routines, what they do, like how they think before their matches.
Yep. So a question I have to ask, it's been a trend that we've asked lately. So, you know, we have four great coaches, four legendary coaches this upcoming season. Is there that one coach that you're just like, you know, this is your elevator pitch to them basically, be like, yo, pick me for this reason. Is there anyone out there that, you know, that you want to be part of their team, or is, you know, anyone you want to pick their brain kind of thing?
Yeah. I would really want to get on a Hodger Gracie's team. He, yeah, he just seems like he's the GOAT, bro. So I just really want to like, just pick his brain on a lot of stuff. And then it's really cool to be on his team, you know.
A lot of Hodger, guys are
picking. Yeah. No. How about this? You were the first one. No, you're the first one to at least just be straight up about it. Because guys are like, you know, well, you know, I got this. I got, you know, you're straight to the point. So again, more of a solid point. Jet knows what he wants. You know, let's see. Make your team take off. Sorry, I had to hit you with the pun there, my man. So get the team to take off and go into the playoffs with my boy Jet Hodger. You heard it here first. You know, there you go.
All right, so you normally make an objection because Mickey gave you a compound question. So we asked you, you know, which coach, and then he asked you to make the elevators pitch. So you've made your call. You want the GOAT as your coach. Now we should actually give you the opportunity. All right, give us your elevator pitch to the GOAT. Why should the GOAT pick you?
I don't know. I feel like I'm just like an up and coming athlete, and I feel like. I'd be a really cool pick. I feel like I'm probably like an underdog for this whole thing. And I don't know. I feel like I just really want to be on his team.
Well, I mean, to be fair, I mean, you're a young man, 17. Mm-hmm. I mean, you've been, you know, training for years, but you're still moldable, one would say. I mean, that's what a coach wants, right?
Yeah.
A coach should be looking for somebody that they can shape, that they can, like, you know, improve upon. I mean, obviously, they got just a week with you, right? Mm-hmm. They're not going to completely change your game. But, you know, as I've thought about this, how what type of definition do they see things? I mean, these legendary coaches have thousands and thousands and thousands of hours of competition amongst themselves, of watching people. So they just... I mean, it's like, you know, all of us regular folk, we're watching like, you know, old school, like 1980s style TV, you know, definition. They're in like 4K Ultra HD, where the heck the newest hotness is. They see everything. So if they could even just see one little tweak to give you that might just completely upgrade your game, I think it'd be insane. So yeah. I'm really excited for you, brother. What do you think?
I think that's a really good way of looking at it. Just because, like, they have so much experience, these coaches that you're bringing in, that they can, like, watch you and they can see the very fine, like, the details that most people don't see. So, like, when they're watching you roll, they're able to see that and they're able to see, like, the mistakes you're making that, like, most people won't see just because they have that much experience.
Are you addressing anything that you might think is a weakness right now? I mean, are you working with anything specific with your coach?
No, not really. I've just doing like my finals prep for trials right now, And then I think I'm going to do a lot of like submissions after trials in my training, just like probably a lot of front headlock stuff because – like, looking at the rule set, I think the front headlock submissions will be really good for this rule set just because, like, the chokes are worth more than the breaks.
Yep.
And the front headlock's, like, probably one of the easiest chokes to, like, wrap up, you know. Like, it's a lot easier than, like, probably taking somebody's back or a triangle or something.
I mean, that's interesting because it seems, and again, you know, we only have so much film on you. But it seems your plan A or your go-to seems to be go to guard real quick and throw up that arm bar. So have you been working more on wrestling and going to the front? I'm
working a lot on like my wrestling and my coming on top and passing, getting ready for this next trials last few months. So I realized like at my last trials, that was probably like a big weakness in my game. So last 3 months, I've really been working on that. So I think after this, I'm gonna work a lot of front headlock stuff. And I want to, the triangle used to be like my go-to thing when I was like little younger. So I think I want to get back into doing the triangle a lot more for this rule set, since I think that would be a really good submission for it.
Pretty smart. Are you by any chance familiar with the elbow genie rule yet?
The what?
The elbow genie rule. I mean, it sounds really wild to say, right? So you probably don't know. So reason I bring it up is in the PGM, they have this really cool thing where if you get a submission within the first minute, you get an extra point added on.
Oh, right. Yeah, so right. I heard you and Kyron Kerchuk were talking about that last podcast.
Watch out. Okay, he's doing research on us. Watch out. He's trying to turn the table.
Actually, he was doing research on Kieran. I mean, we're not competing. You know?
No, that's smart. That's smart. So, I mean, obviously, you're in Oklahoma. I mean, there are some amazing wrestlers in Oklahoma. Are you just doing wrestling with other jiu-jitsu guys? Are you bringing in some wrestling? What's going on there?
Yeah, I'm mostly just doing, like, some wrestling with other jiu-jitsu guys. There's some like, good wrestlers in our gym. My gym I train at here, they've wrestled, like, through college and whatnot. So I'm doing some wrestling stuff with them. They're showing me, like, these techniques. And then really just, like, combining, like, that high-level wrestling that they have with a really good jiu-jitsu game. So being able to, like, apply some of these techniques that they're showing me with, like, front headlocks and, like, jumping on the back and whatnot, I think is a really good way of approaching it.
Do you do any other sort of cross training?
Not really. I have a home gym. I'll train there a lot. Then I train at the Forge BJJ in Oklahoma City. And then I train at Watkins.
Right on. Now, the season's got 12 matches for you within the first 4 days. Are you equipped for that? I mean, is that something that you think your body can handle?
Yeah. I think I'll definitely be fine with the matches. Like, I've been used to the ACC trials training I've been doing, and that's a lot more than 12 matches in a week, you know, but it's 12 like high level competition matches too. So, but I think I'll be fine with that. I just want to make sure I'm getting like my training in through the week also.
Right on.
We've heard a lot of people say that, man. Just be ready. I mean, all y'all are killers, and I know you do a lot more than 3 matches a night, but it's a little different when it is at the competition level, as you said, the high level competition you're dealing with. So,
yeah,
just, you know, if the Dream was here, he would tell you that, because he was a season 2 alumni, and you've got to be talking to your coaches, have that good recovery plan, make sure you're getting that good nutrition.
Yeah,
I got it, brother. I mean, we're 2 of us are in our 40s over here, so we dream of being back in our late teens like you and be able to bounce back from everything. So you probably do have an advantage over everyone on that, but still, you need prep for it, brother.
Shit, I woke up and I was hurting just by waking up. So Egg mentioned, you know, nutrition. You know, is that something that you definitely handle, or you know, you're just a kid right now, you just eat whatever?
Yeah, basically. Yeah, I just eat whatever.
You're blessed. You're blessed.
The big bottle of Fairlife milk. I drink.
Oh man. Okay,
those every day. I drink like right there, man. The chocolate milks.
Oh, chocolate milk. Up. Oh
yeah.
Man. So our tendies part. I gotta know. Our tendies part of this diet, Jet. We got chalky milk and tendies.
Sometimes.
If you do. Oh man, dude, I gotta say this real quick to the competition. Watch out there, because you have a kid here, Jet, who drinks chalky milk and tendies and can snap your limbs. Be careful. I'm just saying, man. That right there would be the biggest demoralizer. You know, I can just see you like right after the match, just chugging some Fairlife and just, dude. Gimmick, man.
No, not the tendies. You need the dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets. That some chocolate milk, some dinosaur shaped chicken nuggets. So you have that like mat side after you like snap somebody's arm, like
this. Is tell your coach to have one on hand so you can run up to the camera, bite the head off. You're like, ah, you know, it's my mats, dude. That's perfect.
Shit, McDonald's is going to come calling and be like, we're going to sponsor you.
Yeah, that'd be awesome.
I don't think McDonald's is real food, but whatever. You know, if they pay you, let's go.
Hey, hey, they got chalky milk and nuggies, man. You know, that's the life.
Yeah. You know.
Hey, do you do any, you know, mental preparation for your competitions? Like, you know, a lot of guys are now finding, you know, yoga and meditation and stuff like that. Are you into that?
Sort of. Like, I envision a lot of my matches. So just like thinking it through and thinking like for like weeks and weeks beforehand, I'm like going to sleep, you know, like I'm just thinking of like how this match is going to go or like who I could fight in like this competition, you know, and what I want to do if I fight this guy or this guy and like what his reaction would be and what my reaction would be, just envisioning the match in my head.
Do you do a lot of tape study or? You know, you leave that up to your coach.
Yeah, I leave a lot of it up to my coach, but I usually watch like half an hour to an hour every day.
Oh, wow. Nice. Sorry, go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. Well, since you've been doing study, I mean, obviously you watched the podcast with Kieran Kichuk, not for us, but for him. Are there any particular, you know, competitors you want on your team or any scalps you want to take and anyone you want to be able to take out or, you know, what's your thought on the competition?
I want to fight everybody, bro.
hell yeah.
Come on.
If I got a match with everybody, that'd be awesome. But, yeah, there's some, people I want to fight. Like I'd really like just to have a match, you know, with people like PJ Barge and Andy Varela. Like those high level people coming into this. But yeah, there's also like Davis Asari, Nato Canuto. Like there's some really good people coming into this and I would love the opportunity to fight everyone there.
I love your spirit that you want to like just, you know, I want all y'all and I like that. But is there any one competitor, because I mean you're still gonna have to have four teammates. Is there anyone you would particularly like to have on your team that you might be able to learn from, you know, your style is kind of like, or something you'd like to get from them?
Yeah. I didn't really think of that. I don't know. There's some really good people there. I would like Elijah Creighton. I know he knows a lot about this rule set, so it'd be nice to have him just be asking him the questions about like his past experiences with the PGF, you know. Then Andy Varela and PJ Barge, like I would love, like there's some two people I really looked up to and I'd love to have them on my team, just asking them about like their career so far, especially someone like PJ Barge who's been to, you know, like places like ACC Worlds and has that experience. I'd love to just pick his brain, you know.
I can believe me. He just won the Polaris Grand Prix.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yeah, he's a killer. Yeah, maybe a piece of advice. I'm not a coach, but just saying, if you go up against PJ or Andy Varela, you might want to just sit down.
Yeah.
I don't think this is probably not the time to be trying out that wrestling you've been working on. I want to just go to that guard.
Yeah. Yeah, probably.
Thanks, coach.
Yeah, I'll be here all day.
Mickey, you had a question for him. Go ahead.
So, you know, something curious about your background, because you homeschooled, pretty much focused on jiu-jitsu. So is there anything outside of jiu-jitsu? I know that like, we had recently Max Hansen, found out he's a League of Legend gamer. So like, he loves playing LOL, so maybe, you know, the game. Anything like that for you, whether it be even something, you know, it could be as simple as you're into beekeeping. Or I don't know. And everyone has their hobbies that keeps them sane outside of jiu-jitsu. Anything like that for you?
I like watching Dragon Ball.
Hey, there you go. Hey, see, that's some way to unwind. And I know a lot of people use it to motivate, right? Like, they go from Dragon Ball, they're like, I want to be Goku. Ah, training, start lifting. So you're living the life. Nice.
Yeah, that's basically all I do is I watch Dragon Ball and I do jiu-jitsu.
Is there somebody that you know, you mold your game after, or you just go with the flow and whatever your coach is showing, that's what I want to do?
Yeah, basically it's, you know, whatever my coach is showing, like he watches a bunch of tape and he's like studying like these tournaments I'm getting ready to compete in, like PGF, ACC trials, And he's like showing me the moves and the techniques and the styles that he think would best suit myself for that rule set.
Right on.
So, I mean, you've just been doing adult competition for about a year. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. I think my last kids competition I did was ADCC Denver. I did the teens division there. Then, yeah, that was the last. I haven't really done kids competition, like, besides ACC. I did, like, Pan Kids back in 2021. That was my last one. Or 2022, sorry.
Sure. No, it's just while Wallow and I watched that little Grapplers video. So you went right from kids competition belts straight up to right to a purple belt. Is that correct?
Yeah, I didn't go through the blue belt. I just went right to purple. My coach thought it helped me like get a higher level, like super fights and stuff like Midwest finishers and finishers.
It's okay. I mean, you know, all the blue belts in the world, we're not salty about that.
Yeah,
you know, just jumping over. It's okay. You do you, man. That's cool. That's cool. Well, rest of us.
Hey, listen, he could do that because he's talented. You don't have that talent, bro. So don't be jelly.
Fair enough. Thanks. Rub it in.
We do have to give you some shit, though. What's up with this, man?
Oh, man.
Bro, you look like you're nine.
I was nine.
Wreck house.
Yeah, that's a picture of my first fight to win. That was in like, I think that was 2018.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God.
So that's just some like psyops against your opponents. Like, you know, what? Who am I going to be against? Like this little kid?
Yeah, kind of. I just never went and changed it. It was like my dad.
It should stay that way forever, man.
I don't know how many years ago and just never went.
That should be it. You got to keep it, man. That's it. That's your thing. They're like, what?
I wasn't like, sure if it was you. I was like, this is it. Oh, man.
Hey, just real quick, we got some comments. Hey, DJK for me says, good luck, Jed. And Means and Savagery, what's up? You know, what's up from us as well. So, I mean, so you're allowed to bring one coach with you to this competition. I'm sure you read the FAQs and all that stuff. So who's coming?
I don't know. I don't know if like Fresher Watkins will be able to come out there that whole week. So I don't know. It might be my dad. Like he might be the one coming.
That's
out.
Good. That's good. Yeah, that's good. He's gonna have to keep you out of trouble in Vegas.
Yeah. we may have to have special permission just to give him an in.
Right.
No. He's not gambling. He's not gambling. He's just gonna come break people. I swear.
So, you know, you're doing all these big tournaments, you know, the ADCC Opens and all that. Do you still do like local stuff or you're like, meh?
No, not really. Most of the local stuff I usually ref and like color.
Hey, I noticed. Paper up, man.
Right. I noticed that they were saying that you work for AGF. You're working as a ref for them?
Yeah. Yeah. I'll work like the local events when they come into town. Then nice. I'll like, they let you do one division when you're reffing, so I usually do that one division because they usually need like somebody fill in for like a brown belt division that only has like one person or something, you know. But, yeah, I'm not usually competing in the local tournaments for the most part though, unless I'm reffing it.
Dude, you know, think about it. They're like this. They're like, hey, you want to take it up with the ref? He can snap you, but go ahead. You know, that's gonna do it. That's smart. Smart at AGF right there.
So are you just focused on like money tournaments and the trials for ADCC?
Yeah, it's mostly what I'm focused on now, probably for the rest of the year.
Right on. So what do you think about, you know, the tournaments, you know, the professional tournaments, you know, the money's never been, you know, like it is now. Like,
yeah,
you know, the PGF is starting to pay, you know, the 100,000 for the winning team. An extra 20 for the one that walks away with the championship. And there's another tournament in Florida, the Sabbatarian, who's also going to be be paying $100,000, you know, for the winner. Are you interested in Zapateria as well, or you know?
Yeah, I was actually looking into trying to do that. I'm gonna see if I can do a cut down to 160, and then they have a Austin qualifier, so I think I'm gonna try and get into the Austin qualifier.
Right on.
But yeah, I need to see how like a cut would go to 160 first.
What do you walk around at?
I'm like 177, 178 right now.
Oh. Cool.
Yeah, if I could do a cut down to 160, that'd be a really nice weight to fight at if I had like that weight advantage, you know, if I could do it right.
Yeah, you're going to have to give up McDonald's, bro.
Trade in the nuggets from Chick-fil-A for grilled nuggets. You know, that's a hack right there for you. Grilled nuggets. Remove the breading so you save some calories and it won't stick to you and you can hit that 160.
So the rankings are out. Have you taken a look at the rankings for the PGF?
Mm-hmm. I'm 17.
Are you okay with that, or are you having a fit like maybe some of the other guys? That's what
it
I heard.
Because it's your
age. I heard some age. Guys were having a fit, you know, about the rankings. But I'm just wondering, are you okay with your ranking, or do you not really care?
I don't really care a whole lot. There's definitely some people like above me. I think I'd be able to beat. But
like who?
Ben Eddy.
No, the heck you say? Have you gone against him before? Perhaps.
I mean, it's the preseason ranking, so I'm not real worried about it.
All right, right on. I mean, I think the same thing. It's like it's just rankings, you know. At the end of the day, you still have to have the match.
Yeah,
it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
So, well, that's cool.
I was trying to loft you up a softball there. We watched your match at the Dallas Open against Ben Eddy before you came on.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you armbarred him in like 25 seconds, something like that?
Yeah, something like that, I think.
You would have got the bonus point, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, had that been a PGF match, you would have gotten four.
You would have gotten four, not just the three. So, but we also saw there was an Austin Open. Did you go against him in that as well?
Yeah, you fought him in the semifinals at the Austin Open.
Wow.
So,
that was points, though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that went down to overtime. I scored two on him in overtime.
So a takedown or reversal? What was that?
That was a takedown.
Okay. Well, I mean, shoot, you're 2-0 against one of your competitors that's ranked higher than you. So, I mean, one might question that, Kamish, or whoever decided to make these rankings.
Yeah.
Listen, if Matt Scaff would have made the rankings, I'm sure you would have sit way higher than 12. I'm just saying.
Okay.
He was the one who was like, you know, who told us about you. He said, hey, I you know, talked to BMAC and we need to have Jet Thompson on. And you know, the name rang a bell, but, you know, it's kind of hard to keep track of all the grapplers. You know,
there's so many now.
Yeah, it's we love it. You know, listen, but we don't watch all the tournaments because there's so many, and some of them are not even televised. And then you have to wait for somebody to upload them to YouTube. And then if you don't have, you know, a Flow Grappling subscription, then you're not going to see a lot of the matches.
Yeah. Because,
you know, a lot of your stuff was on Flow. And I'm like, damn it. I couldn't watch it.
I could have swore I gave you my password, but
don't worry. We don't do that here.
We would never do that.
We do not share passwords.
Don't worry, Jet. The 20-pound brain is watching all your matches. So I'm tracking what you're putting down, buddy. That's one of my jobs. I cyber stalk people for the show, the PGF. But I mean, let's just maybe, you know, go back a minute. At what age did you start jiu-jitsu?
I was 9 when I started. So, yeah. So that was about, it'll be 8 years in June.
Good Lord. And so,
I know.
I mean, so pretty much your whole family does jiu-jitsu. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't train as much as me. You know, they're like, I'm the only one in my family that's like not a hobbyist. They usually.
So, Are you the goat in your house?
Of course.
Man, you can put on the pizza box, do not touch the last slice of pizza. It's mine, and no one will touch that slice of pizza. That's amazing.
Yeah, nobody touches my food. Nobody.
There you go.
It's like, I see you are my tenders, Dad. Don't even think about
it. Hey, Dad, do you like your wrist working? Don't touch my tendies. You know, that's what I would do. You know, that's good.
So basically they say, hey, go take out the trash. And you're like, how about we go hit the mats?
Nah, I'm good.
But both your folks are purple belts as well?
Actually, my mom just got her a brown belt.
Oh, nice. That's
awesome.
Shit.
All right, don't mess with mom.
Yeah.
Man, she can take your degrees away, man. Ooh,
oh my god, I just saw the last comment. Oh, come on, Wally, you gotta put that one up there.
Hold on.
Oh, you just got called out.
I'm assuming this is your dad.
No, that's my dad.
Oh, man.
Oh, he's gonna tell mom. So for the people listening, his dad hopped on the chat and said, hey, I'm gonna tell mom you called her a hobbyist.
Yeah. Ooh, they're going to turn off the password on the Wi-Fi. Right.
Okay. Actually, I have to ask this one. You guys have mats at home, I'm assuming, right? If you're the competitor. Okay. Yeah, you know, there you go. Oh, man. That's where your dad's going to text you. Hey, after the podcast, meet us on the mats, bud. Oh, man.
We're going to be out there getting warmed up right now.
He'll be like, man, I just rolled off a podcast and I'm going to whoop you all.
Yeah.
There you go. So, I mean, you've already started watching some of the PGF. Have you seen the documentary that Keelan put out, the Grapplers?
I saw the first half.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, it's good. It shows you a little bit of background, see what's going on behind the scenes. Mm-hmm. But a comparison you've been receiving, you know, season one, we actually had a 16-year-old compete in PGFs. Really? Yeah, in season one, he came back. For you know, season three, season four. Actually, he had a hop in on season five. So Noah Randolph was in the stands. You know, him and his dad were like just watching, just like, hey, you know, we're PGF fans, so we're gonna watch. By day three, he was on the mats because of all the injuries. So we need replacement players. But anyways, it's been told that you're gonna somewhat be the new Noah. And I say that, you know, as a super fan, because he came in as a 16-year-old and he was up against like not just grown men, but huge men, because that was like the 195 pound season.
Oh, really?
And he just defended and got a lot of submissions as well. I just say that I think you're going to be a fan favorite. People are really going to cheer for you.
Okay.
You're going to have a lot of people trying to adopt you online. That's for sure.
Yep.
Be careful, people. That could be dangerous.
What are your thoughts on the growth? I mean, jiu-jitsu, you know, obviously we saw it in MMA and all that stuff. And, you know, obviously a sport on its own. But it seems like it's taking off now.
Yeah.
You know,
what are
your thoughts on that?
Like jiu-jitsu is growing so fast. You know, it's probably one of the fastest growing sports in the world right now. So it's... Like, I haven't been around very long. Like, I've been doing jiu-jitsu for 8 years, and, like, even, like, watching the local competition, you know, like, it used to be, like, a 6-mat, 1-day tournament. Now it's, you know, like, a 14-mat, 2-day tournament. Just, like, even watching, like, the local competition scene, like, almost double in size, you know, and then... like watching jiu-jitsu been studying jiu-jitsu for probably like the last 3 or 4 years, just like seeing the difference in like the fan base between like ACC 2019 and 2022. It's just like, it's crazy how much the sport is growing. And now like they're doing tournaments in T-Mobile Arena now. Yep. Like crazy.
Yeah, man. You know what's pretty cool is, again, right, you know, you started jiu-jitsu, what, 8 years ago, over 8 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy how, in a sense, in your lifetime, you've gotten to see the sport grow into what it is. Like, when I started, right? You know, your coach would be like, hey, if you see this on YouTube, don't trust it, right? That was the thing back in the day. It was like, if you see YouTube, it's going to be something crazy. But now you can go on YouTube and maybe find something like that, you know, you're like, oh my gosh, you can see like Craig Jones, Kit Dale, Lachlan Giles, like the Australian guys, or John Danaher. You can see all this great technique that, again, before, like, dude, when I started, they were like, if you try this on YouTube, just get out. You know, that's kind
of this is Brandon like McCatherin, you know, 1 minute.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Brandon Beanback, of course. Yep. The with everything, right? So, dude, you're lucky in the sense that 17, and you're at the part where the sports, like what other kids had, like with basketball, baseball, football, soccer, right? All these cool drills. We didn't have that, but now you do. And, dude, you get to grow with the sport, right? Like 17 years old. Obviously, you have a lot more to grow. Like, dude, you get to grow with the sport. And even with this, your involvement in the PGF, dude, like, people get to see you grow and even follow you more. Like the Rutolo brothers, right? Like, for me, I remember seeing them do, like, a promo for Show Your Roll, doing a kid seminar. I'm like, man, these kids can kick my butt. You know, I'm trying to say, look at them now, competing at ADCC level. One, like, dude, you're right there as well. That's just something to pat yourself on the back with, man.
Thank you.
Sorry. What are your goals, like, you know, short term and long term? Are you looking to, obviously, ADCC? Are you looking to coach after that? What are you looking to do?
A few ADCC titles would be the goal, you know. So, like, go there, then maybe, like, have a good run in the absolute, then, like, probably, like, retire, like, around 30, 35, then have a school around Oklahoma. That's the life plan right there. A few, like, compete all the way through my 20s, like, make some money, win a few world championships, and retire in Oklahoma and have a school.
Right on. Now, I know you're saying, you know, you said that you were homeschooled. Mm-hmm. If colleges had a jiu-jitsu team, would that be something that would interest you?
Yeah, that'd be really cool, actually.
Possibly going to college and, you know, NCAA tournament, you know.
Yeah, if it was like wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be really cool if they had like a jiu-jitsu college, you know, like if you had like a team of like young competitors to train with too. That'd be really cool.
I think eventually that's a possibility.
It'll for sure happen. Yeah,
it's just too big not to be part of a curriculum. You know, even in high schools. You know.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we gotta get it to be an Olympic sport first. That's one of the things, because once you get to the Olympics, then people see it as that verified actual sport. So there's traditionally only been so many ways to make money in jiu-jitsu. So you're going kind of the traditional route, go be, you know, amazing competitor, win a few championships, no big deal. Then have your own gym. But you know, a lot of these guys are making just tons of money with their instructionals.
Yeah.
If you were going to do an instructional, what do you think you'd be teaching us?
Probably arm bars. No. Yeah. Like I have a few arm bar highlights I could use to sell it, you know. Then I got I taught a seminar last weekend, an arm bar seminar. So that, like, I basically just show a lot of the stuff I showed at that seminar and some other stuff that I think I have, like, a very a lot of, like, armbar stuff that most people don't see a lot that I think would be really good for an instructional.
No, that's awesome. So, I mean, obviously, Miggy talked about the elbow genie point. So Jonathan Roberts was in our first season of the PGF. Just a armbar master. You can watch him in season one and season three, just killer arm bars. But pardon me, he was just smoking fools left and right with his arm bars.
Oh, really?
But about half the way through the season, he wasn't going to make the playoffs, because back in season one, a choke was worth 7 points, and a lock or break was only worth 3. So to help fix that problem, that's why they have the elbow genie point, the elbow genie rule. So if you get that armbar within that minute, you get an extra point, so it's 4. And they also reduced the kills to 6, so it's more even. And some people have asked us, I'm going to tell you right now, it's perfectly fine. I mean, kills are great, But if you have that ability to hit those arm bars and you are able to hit them quick on people, that is easily an avenue to top eight. So it's, I mean, you might not be number one or number two, but I'm telling you, if you get quick arm bars on people, you have a real chance of making that top eight.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I think like in this season, everybody there is like such a high level that like, if you see something, I don't think you're going to want to pass it up, you know, that
really smart.
He's paying attention. He's paying attention.
You get a shot. What's up? You see that shot, you take that shot. No question.
It's not, you're not probably not going to get another look if you pass on it.
I mean, so that's a big question that we've kind of had amongst, different people on the show, because it could go either way. Right. So we have such high level competitors here. The question is this going to be the lowest scoring season because the parity and the level of skill, or does everyone buy into the system? Because the PGF is meant for people to open up their games. You only have 6 minutes. Here's the thing. If they stall you out, or if you stall out and it's a draw, you both lost.
Yeah.
Cause you only got 12, chances. I mean, it seems like a lot, but every match it's one less chance you have to put points on the board. So what do you think? Do you think people are going to, are they going to stall out, or are going to have not many points, or do you think people are going to open up their games and go for those submissions? And as they go for submissions, open themselves up, and then we're going to see a lot more. What do you think is going to happen?
Mm-hmm. Well, from like the competitors that like I have like watched on the list, I think a lot of them will like open up their game, like Andy Varela, PJ Barch, like I will. I know probably Ben Eddy might. There's like a lot of the competitors I've seen, they're probably just going to be like headhunting. They're going to be like wanting to go kill somebody out there, you know. But but at the same time, like they all have amazing defense, so it's really hard to say. But I'm probably gonna say that there'll be like less submissions than they have in previous seasons, just because everybody's such a high level. It's hard to it's hard to tap somebody at that high level. You know, that's why you see like a lot of stuff in ACC. Like a lot of it's scored with points, you know, but I think there probably won't be as many submissions, but it's going to be like two like crazy people like going after submissions.
And you made a really good point in your preparation previously. You noted this, because right now you're in big ADCC qualifier. You're in the hunt right now, and that's what you're working. You're probably working your wrestling, worried about the points and stuff like that. So that's next weekend. And then you have 3 weeks until the PGF after that to really sharpen your sword for those killing strokes that you need. Do you think people are going to be in kind of that ADCC qualifier hangover where they're still stuck thinking about points, or are they going to be able to flip that switch? What do you think?
I think a lot of people will probably be able to flip that switch like fairly easy, because they're all like, everyone that I've seen so far is all like seasoned, experienced competitors, you know. So I think they'll be able to just like flip that switch, like in their mind thinking like, oh, I need to go for like this. But a lot of times, you know, it plays hand in hand. Like if you could get a solid back take in PGF, like you're probably going to be able to get a rear naked, you know, like it's easier to find those submissions off the good positions, you know, so that helps a lot too.
Right on. Hey, do you still get nervous for competitions, or is that not even a thing anymore?
I still get a little nervous, but I'm a big Linkin Park fan, so I usually just listen to like Linkin Park for 3 hours before my match.
Holy shit, 3 hours.
Dude, listen to the Meteora, the 20th anniversary collection before a comp. I think you'll be pumped right there. You know, someone released that. Nice.
I listened to Bleed It Out by the Midnight album.
There you go. So we got a comment on here, and that does bring up some good questions. So
which one, Thiago?
No, well, Thiago's fine.
Savagery.
Okay.
So he has some good questions. I mean, how much does a big crowd and being the center of attention have on you being so young? Savagery, I like that question. A little bit of difference here. The PGF is made for the streaming audience, so made for you watching this right now. So the actual event, I'm sure you've seen the mock-up on pgf.world. It's going to have kind of a speakeasy feel. We're all going to be wearing suits. It's going to be very invite only. Okay, Wallow, you're doing work, man, so you get away with it. I got to wear a suit every day. So there's not going to be a lot of people like actually in the event itself. But to this point, next week you're going to be at the, you know, the ADCC qualifier. That's going to be huge. That's going to be ginormous. All kinds
of
people.
That's going to be insane.
Does Linkin Park just get you focused? Are you able to turn, you know, focus just on the mat and tune everything else out, or how do you do that?
I have a lot of experience, you know, fighting in front of people. So like, it's not really like people that make me nervous anymore. I'm just like, it doesn't really matter to me. I just go out there and I perform and I do the best I can and see what happens, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the beautiful things about jiu-jitsu. That's why I think a lot of us do it. I mean, that's why I do it, is for that mental health aspect, because you have to focus just on your opponent, because it's pretty self-correcting. You don't focus on your opponent, you're getting choked out.
Yeah.
So, okay. So here's another question. I mean, you're going up against freaking grown men. I mean, you know, old man strength is a thing.
Yeah.
So do you do like a particular conditioning, you know, strength and weightlifting to get ready for that? You know, what's
his dad? He tosses his dad around. That's how he gets ready.
While he's throwing you under the bus, he's gonna get you in trouble. He's gonna get the Wi-Fi turned off on you.
Yeah.
But how do you deal with that, man?
So I've been doing adult competition since I was like 14. So like I've been used to fighting adults for a long time now, but just, you know, it's like a normal strength training program. I do like squat, deadlifts, bench, rows. Then one of my favorite things to do for jiu-jitsu actually is I have a medicine balls at my garage, and I just like working like body locks and chokes. I just like wrap around it. I squeeze for a set time for like 6 minutes. And just
six minutes
is there. Yeah, as hard as I can. Just like, I'll wrap my arms around the ball and just like collapse.
Man, that's scary. You have a kid out there that's conditioning himself to squeeze. My head explodes at the thought. Man,
he's conditioning himself to kill you.
Right, just
for a whole PGF match. 6 minutes is a whole PGF match, and you're just focused on squeezing the whole match. That's crazy. I love it.
Well, listen, before we let you go, why don't you give a shout out to, first of all, your parents for being cool and putting you in jiu-jitsu.
Shout
out. And anybody else that you want to send a shout out to, maybe sponsors or whatever.
Yeah, shout out to my coaches, Jeremy Watkins, to my my gyms, the Forge BJJ Watkins, and shout out to my sponsors, First Roll.
Right on. Egg, any final thoughts before we go?
I'm just pumped to see you, brother. You are going to be a fan favorite. You are the underdog, just being a young man. But people that look over you and don't pay attention and don't do their work, you're going to catch some people. And Wallow's going to catch you catching people with his photography, and we're going to be calling it on the commentary. I'm pumped for you, brother. See you in a few weeks.
Yeah, see you in a few weeks. Nice meeting you.
Hey, man. Thank you so much for joining us. We appreciate it. And we'll see you in Vegas, brother.
It was a lot of fun. See you in Vegas.
All right, bro. We'll talk to you soon. Peace.
Peace.